We have four cases on the call this morning. We'll have some of these parties appearing remotely, so we'll take that up as we go. If you are here today, when you come up, we would ask you to please remove your mask when you get here, when your case is called. And then even though you entered in the back, I think we're still exiting out the side door. So if you'd exit out the side. Just a general reminder, we record live stream these, we record them as well. We archive these. So as it relates to any potential information, please remain cognizant of that. In our first case on the call today, case number 21-0253, that's Hilt versus Douglas County Board of Equalization. Parties, please approach. If they're here, or are they both appearing remotely?
Looks like they're both from.
Yeah, sure does. Okay, both parties will be appearing remotely today. I would just remind you before we get started today, just watch. One of the things that makes this a little bit difficult is when we start talking over each other. So please try and watch the screen. If someone begins to speak, if you would stop, that helps quite a bit. And then we won't be talking over each other. Counsel for the appellant, if you would please begin.
Yes, Your Honors. May it please the court. This is Doug Ruge on behalf of the appellant, the Thomas Hill Revocable Trust.
Very fine. Go ahead and say again, please.
Your Honor, Doug Ruge on behalf of the appellant, the Thomas Hilt Revocable Trust.
You can proceed.
Yeah, proceed if you will. I'm getting some interruption in that, so I'm missing some of it.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes. Proceed and let's see if I'll stop you if they're having other communication problems. Go ahead.
Okay, I just didn't see the clock start running, so I was just introducing myself, Your Honor.
Okay, very good. Let's go ahead and get started, please.
Okay. Your Honor, this appeal is an appeal from the Tax Equalization Review Commission. One of the main issues in this case is the disregard of functional obsolescence or depreciation, which the Nebraska Supreme Court has recognized as a fundamental element when applicable in assessing valuation for properties. The standard here is, you know, what a property would bring in an arm's length transaction if there were a sale, not its current use. This particular property under the functional obsolescence or depreciation standard is a ranch, and in the subdivision is more than twice as big as any other ranch in the neighborhood. And it's almost double the size of any other property, whether ranch or two-story. Mr. Hilt, who has extensive experience in building and construction, you know, testified that there needs to be a substantial modification for functional obsolescence or depreciation. And in fact, that position seems to be affirmed by the implicit findings of the Turk and the BOE. The BOE's appraiser, Mr. Molitek, testified that because of the unique nature of this property, and that's the phrase he uses, unique nature and size of the property, that there are no comparables in the neighborhood. So he has to use a cost approach. So there's an implicit recognition there that this property has functional obsolescence or depreciation because of its unique nature. Its unique nature being its extreme size and also the unique nature of the build. It has an extremely large family room, extremely large kitchen, extremely large dining room, extremely large hallway, all designed for entertainment and educational, with the large number of guests that go through there monthly. And in fact, the Turk recognizes that in its opinion as well, dismissing any comparables as inapplicable due to the unique nature of the property citing its size and unique nature. Yet.
Mr. Ruggie, yes. I apologize for interrupting, but I'm going to, so that we don't run out of time to back up a moment and ask about the question that we asked the parties to be prepared to discuss and to brief, and that is whether service was properly done in this case.
Right.
It's an issue we need to look at. So I would appreciate you maybe pivoting and turning to that question, if you will.
Sure. Your Honor, the service was in fact made on the clerk of the county. There is one window, one address for the clerk of the county and and the Board of Equalization. In fact, other than the month of June, there's no separate window for the Board of Equalization. Clerk accepts all deliveries other than the month of June for the Board of Equalization. So in fact, service was made on the clerk per the statute, Your Honor.
Judge Moore, looks like we lost your volume for a minute.
Excuse me. Wasn't service made or the summons issued to the Board of Equalization and not the county, not the county clerk?
Yes. I mean, it was the precipice was for service on the Board of Equalization, but it was in fact made at the clerk's office and served upon clerk's personnel. So whether the summons said BOE care of clerk or just BOE, summons in fact was perfected on the clerk of the court and its personnel.
But doesn't the statute require service on a county and service upon the chief executive officer or clerk?
Or clerk, right. Now, I mean, if you're saying that we needed to actually serve the clerk personally, I don't think so. I think that service is proper if it's made to the clerk's office and the clerk's personnel.
And what authority do you have for that proposition?
Well, as a practical matter, I don't know how you could serve the clerk. I mean, there's no, the clerk accepts service of summons at that window, at the the clerk of the office's court. I'm sorry, over here. So I don't believe that. I think that as a practical matter, the service has to be made upon the clerk's office. I don't think that it's necessary to, to have the clerk come forward and accept. At least in practice, I don't believe that's the way it's ever happened.
All right.
Again, backing up to who it was served upon, you attempted to serve it upon the Board of Equalization. Would you agree with that?
I would say that I served it upon the clerk's office, Your Honor. I served it upon the clerk at the place that they receive. Should that have said care of clerk's office? Maybe. And in fact, if I were to do it again, that's probably the way I would do it. But in fact, it was served on the clerk's office.
And just to confirm, you would agree, acknowledge 25.510.02 subsection 2 is the proper service statute here. It does require that it be served upon the clerk. Your position is simply, I think I did that, correct?
Well, I'm not willing to go as far as to say that this court, the Supreme Court or this court has determined that is the only way to serve. But I do think that there is compliance with that section, yes.
And your position is by sending it to the office where the board is located, if the clerk is there, that sufficiently serves the clerk?
More than that, Your Honor, there is The clerk's office accepts deliveries at that for the BOE, other than the month of June.
Isn't the Board of Equalization a subdivision, if you would, of the county?
Well, that's an interesting question. You're saying, Your Honor, that maybe in effect, the BOE is the county for purposes of that statute, Your Honor?
No, I'm saying the opposite. The BOE is not the county as required by the statute. I don't believe it's a separate entity from, I don't believe it's an entity in and of itself. It derives everything from the county, doesn't it? It's a part of the county structure.
Right. In other words, it's the alter ego of the county, maybe. It has specific functions, right? But it is, in fact, the county for purposes of service, is what you're saying, Your Honor?
Let me ask you this way. Do you know, in fact, who Sharon Bork is employed by?
Yes, I do. She's employed by the clerk's office.
By Dan Eschen's office, the county clerk?
Yes, Your Honor. I've verified that twice, Your Honor, both by myself and through my office, just to be double sure. Now, the way they will state it, if you were to call them, is they would say that, yes, she is employed by us, but she helps out with the BOE, especially during the time when they get busy around the June time period.
And is her employment status part of our record?
It is part of an affidavit that I filed, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mr. Ruge, just to follow up then, you're not asserting that the Board of Equalization is a separate political subdivision?
I have to be honest with you. I think that I've looked at the cases in it. If I could have found a case that would have said differently, I would have cited it to you. But I think that the way the cases read, that even though there are particular functions for the BOE under that statute that sets up the BOE, that it's probably the county in effect, and therefore the county's probably the entity we're looking at here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I see you're out of time. Thank you very much, counsel. Counsel for the plea. Yeah, I think you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Thank you. Jennifer Crystal Clark for the Douglas County Board of Equalization. I appear on behalf of them. If it will please the court, thank you for allowing us to appear remotely. It's very helpful in regards to these situations. First off, since the big question by the court today was jurisdictional, whether or not the Court of Appeals even has jurisdiction to hear this appeal, on behalf of my client, on behalf of what the statute states, on behalf of what case law states, I do not believe that service was actually served upon the Douglas County Board of Equalization. I think if you look at Nebraska Revised Statutes 23-135, the Nebraska legislature states, quote, that all claims against a county shall be served with the county clerk, and in Douglas County, that office is currently filed by Daniel Esch. If we look at how the court has always looked at shall, that means must. That doesn't mean that there are any turnarounds, any different ways of doing that. That means that it must be served on the Douglas County clerk's office. Now,
is it your position that it had to be personally served on Dan Esch, the county clerk?
Not personally served on him. I think if you look at one of the cases that I cite, Twist versus Twatwin, which is when the Nebraska Supreme Court kind of outlined what service for the state was. Specifically, when a party commences an action against the state, that party service must be served by one of the four following ways. First, by even leaving summons at the Attorney General's office with the actual Attorney General, by leaving summons at the Attorney General's office with a Deputy Attorney General, by leaving summons at the Attorney General's office with someone designated in writing by the Attorney General to receive summons, or by sending summons by certified mail addressed to the Attorney General's office. None of that was actually done in regards to this case. As the court has already identified, the Douglas County Board of Equalization is not a separate entity away apart from the Douglas County. As it being part of the county, that means it has to be served as being served would be on anything for the county related. That means Dan Esch, that means Dan Esch's office, that means someone who has been designated by Dan Esch, that means someone that is his deputy clerk, or even having summons sent there. None of that was done. The summons was actually sent to the Douglas County Board of Equalization in a completely different part of the building. Regardless if Sharon Bork even is employed, actually she's employed by Douglas County. She might, the office specifically might be the clerk's office. Yes, she's helping out the Douglas County Board of Equalization, but she's not a designated individual to receive summons. So regardless of what her employment status is, the fact remains that the Supreme Court has identified how service needs to be done on a governmental entity. It also identifies who is to receive notice when it comes to suing the county.
This is Crystal Clark,
I'm sorry.
This is the downside of technology. If I might ask a question here, you cite to 23-135 for your authority, but isn't that the statute that relates to claims arising out of contract? It talks about materials or labor, which form the basis of the claim. Isn't that a contract statute of limitations and not the one we should be looking at here today?
I believe it's one that we should be utilizing, Your Honor.
Have you looked at 25-510.02?
Yes.
Do you think that's applicable here?
I think it's applicable in the fact that, again, you have to serve it on the correct individual. And in this case, I don't believe that that has been done. I believe that there was a summons issued to the Douglas County Board of Equalization. I don't believe that that is the correct form of service done for a county, because in a sense you are suing the county and when you are appealing anything that is county related. So I do not believe that, again, that the appellant in this case did in fact properly serve the county.
Do you dispute Mr. Ruge's position that Sharon Bork is in fact an employee of Dan Esch's office?
I don't, but I also don't believe that that is really relevant when it comes to this. First off, she happens to be in that office because she's helping out with the Douglas County Board of Equalization. But again, is she an authorized individual to receive it? The summons was actually sent to the Douglas County Board of Equalization at their address, not at the Douglas County Clerk's address. So in fact, it was received by the individual who was, again, as this court has noted, is not a separate entity. It's not like it's a different governmental body that is has its own, it's separate from it. In the Douglas County Board of Equalization's opinion, the proper service needs to be done on the Douglas County Clerk or one of his representatives in his office, not someone who happened to have been in another office at that time helping out.
So Ms. Crystal Clark, if the summons had been issued to the county and if Ms. Bork had signed for the summons, would we be okay here?
I would ask where the actual summons was sent.
Okay, so if it was sent to the address for the county clerk.
I think that that is one of the qualifications that the Supreme Court did find as proper service. But in fact, it was actually mailed to the Douglas County Board of Equalization in a separate part of the building. It's on a separate floor. It's completely separate from what the two different parts of the county are.
Isn't the purpose and spirit of the process so that the county receives adequate notice of the claim being made? And in this situation, was that not accomplished?
Your Honor, I do not believe that was accomplished, because you're right. You have to give the other party the opportunity to actually respond when someone files a claim against the county, an appeal. And in this case, in fact, because an entity received it that doesn't not receive that type of document or that type of action, didn't know what to do with it. So in fact, it took several days for it to go back to the clerk's office, which in turn then forwarded it to my office. So in fact, that is why if the court will see the record of this appeal, that I actually had to file stating that I did not receive proper notice and for order for me to actually even be able to respond to some of the arguments made by the appellant. So I do not, I agree that there is that position of, well, you know, as long as you receive notice, isn't it really, is it kind of a moot point at this time? Well, in fact, in this case, it wasn't because it didn't go to the right person. So, and then it took I believe it took about 8 or 9 days for me to actually receive that notice. Whereas if it was the Douglas County Clerk's office, they receive it, they timestamp it, they make sure that everything is in order, and then they forward it to my office within a day. So no, I don't believe that this was the proper form of service, and I don't believe it gave proper notice to the Douglas County Board of Equalization when it came to this appeal.
Well, and even though we're talking about service here in this context, this is a subject matter jurisdiction issue, is it not?
Yes. But I also believe that if you properly don't have jurisdiction, there's no reason for you to be hearing this appeal as well.
Right. So regardless of if it eventually got to the right person in this context, because it's a subject matter jurisdiction, we have to look to see whether it was served correctly so as to confer subject matter jurisdiction, correct?
Correct. And would you, are we done with that issue? Would you like me to continue to discuss that, or would you like me to go forward on my issue in regards to why I believe that the
Purtle, any more questions on that?
No.
Okay, please continue then.
Your Honors, just briefly, since I know I only have about 40 seconds, I think the valid points in this case are that the taxpayer, the appellant, did not prove his case. Functional obsolescence is not really a valid point considering he's using it for what it's been intended for. He acknowledges that he's using it for what it's intended for. Stan Molotek is a Douglas County assessor, or excuse me, appraiser, who's been doing that since 1984. Questions and issues, or excuse me, some of the points brought up by Mr. Hilt, I question highly, especially since he made a comment that he uses a he's certified by the Marshall and Swift software, which is not even a valid certification. So a lot of the information I think that he brought forth in regards to issues with his house are highly suspect, considering, as noted by the Turk order, that he would not even allow anyone actually in the home to even determine whether or not there were issues of depreciation or functional obsolescence.
Okay, and your time has expired, so we appreciate that. Thank you. How long did she go over there?
29 seconds, Your Honor.
I tell you what, Mr. Ruge, 30 seconds. Is it? You have 30 seconds to rebut that.
Your Honor, 2 points. Your Honor's 2 points. One, the service was not made on two different offices. The office for the clerk's office and the office for the BOE are the same. So service was made on the clerk's office. It wasn't a separate floor. Secondly, there was no there's no evidence that they were denied access in connection with this appraisal. They were denied access prior to this appraisal, but not during this appraisal process. So they always had access to the property during this appraisal process.
Yeah. Thank you very much, both of you, for attending today. The matter is submitted. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel.